Good, better, best. Never let it rest till your good is better and your better is best. And welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B., and we are back live on a Wednesday evening, and I am joined by my good friend, Chris Meraz from Your IT out there in Oklahoma.
Marvin, thanks for having me back. You are the only person that lets me on the podcast anymore. So, you know, I'm honored to be the one place I'm welcome. Thank you.
Well, most people would be, you know, a little intimidated because, you know, you're smart, your business is growing and kind of intimidating. So me, I don't care.
Anything. Yes, that's what everyone says. I'm an intimidating character.
All right. So folks, we are here, Podnuts Pro, your podcast for IT business support. Anybody that is supporting business in any way, whether you are a solo tech, you're a million-dollar MSP, or anywhere in between, hopefully we're going to provide you with product stories and tips to help you run your business better, smarter, and faster. So tonight, we've got a few things we want to talk about, but I can't go on without at least acknowledging that I understand there is a huge part of our country that is going through some weather-related stuff. And I know that I always get on here and talk about Florida weather. And 2 weeks ago, we had our winter Armageddon. But nothing like what the folks in the breadbasket or middle of the country, I don't even know what the heartland, if they call it, but are going through some stuff. Chris, you are close to Dallas, which has been, parts of Dallas had no power for 2 days.
Yeah, so, you know, we've been lucky, Oklahoma City. We didn't have as many outages, whether power or water, as other places, but it's very unusual. We've been below freezing for 10 days in a row now. We've not gotten above freezing, which is abnormal. We got almost 10 inches of snow, which we don't get much snow in Oklahoma. You know, we've got colleagues as far south as Austin and Houston who have, you know, no power for going on 3 days now. It's outrageous.
That's worse than some of our hurricanes that we have. Yeah. I mean, I have gone without power for 12 days. So, you know, I know a little bit about what that's like. Just never been buried in an avalanche of snow.
Yeah. So, well, the difference is you're prepared for that. You know, we don't.
That's true. We can see it coming.
Days of, yeah, it's a little bit different, but yeah, 12 days is a bit much.
Yeah. So, of course, you know, I had this whole thing prepared because 2 days ago, we had a record high. 88 degrees for this time of year is the highest on record for Florida for, what was it, on Monday the 15th? That was a record high for as far back as records have gone.
And I think we were below 18 a couple days ago,
yeah,
which is a record for us. So we're just breaking them all across the country.
yep. So, oh my. All right. So let's move on and not dwell on that. Let's talk about how have things been? It's been a while since you and I chatted. We haven't even had our little peer group meeting.
I know.
Everybody's been busy. So how busy have you been?
You know, we've been good. The end of the year was nice for us. A lot of people started preparing for 2021. And then January was, don't have all the numbers in, but January looks like it's definitely one of, if not our best January ever, with projects and some additional hardware sales and people just kind of kicking off and getting back into the swing of things, picking up things they had put off for all of 2020. So we're off to a real strong start right now.
Nice.
Yeah.
We had a good year last year, and I have to keep it in perspective. So on record, it was my second highest year. even before we fired our largest client at the end of 2017. But a lot of that was bolstered by Windows 10 upgrades that people had neglected and put off for so long. So I ended up having probably about 100 Windows 10 upgrades throughout the last year. So that helped.
Yeah, interesting. Did you see that was planned project stuff, or were they just kind of had, with the downtime of working from home and stuff, that was a little more convenient for them?
So I had two customers that actually did it because they said, well, now's as good a time as any. and so that actually worked out. My one big client did it because one of their software vendors said, by the way, we're not going to be supporting you if you're still on Windows 7. So they, you know, attorneys. So of course they wait until they're told. And that was a big chunk of it as well. So, and they still have their branch offices that are connecting through remote desktop and terminal services. They still have about 45, 50 workstations that are Windows 7 because they're like, well, it's not really on the network.
So, okay.
So I'm like, all right. Okay. Yeah, you have a breach or something, and we'll deal with it then. So that was joy. But as a matter of fact, that's the customer. So I'm going to have a little vent party tonight just before we get to our main topic. So I had to rush back to make sure I made it in time for the podcast. I had a internet/phone installation that started at 4 p.m. And I had to leave at 2 p.m. because it takes me an hour to get to that customer. And I wanted to be there an hour before to kind of prep and go around. There were 22 phones that needed to be installed. And because I know how unorganized this client is, I wanted to make sure I went around and marked all of the extensions on all of the phones, because the names on the phones did not match the names on the doors or cubicles because they all moved around because of COVID. And so, and of course, people have gone, people have left, people have come in, they've hired, and they don't change names. They don't change computer names. They don't change, you know, anything. So I went and did that. And it still took us 2.5 hours to basically swap over the internet and configure 22 phones. And that's with two techs from the provider on site and two people on the activation call. And me.
Hey, you know, but you prepared, and so instead of taking 5 hours, it took 2.5. So good job.
And yeah, and no gratitude from the customer. As we're finishing up, I get an email that says, "By the way, what's the extension for this person?" And I'm like, "Who's this person?" And they're like, "Oh yeah, we just hired her." And I'm like, "Well, she's not on the list, so she has no phone."
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, there were only 14 phones on site. So where are the rest of the phones? Oh, they're coming. So, which is great because they ordered a total of 26. So there are 12 more phones coming. But the switch that the phone provider put in, it's a 24-port switch.
Of course it is.
And yeah, two of them we used for internet and connecting our data side because, they were so flustered. Because we don't allow, you know, for them to control the internet. We have them split that off, and we have a VeloCloud SD-WAN. So we split that off and run the internet through our firewall, and then they just run the phones. But because the phones have computers sitting behind them, we have to do a bridge between our network and theirs so that our firewall can give an IP address to the computers through the phones. And the guy on the phone was like, "What?" So I haven't had time to decompress yet. So I guess I'll get to do that with the wife at home.
Well, I'm glad you made it back in time. It would have been awkward me sitting here by myself. So, yeah.
So any great news stories from you? Any been in the last few days or last week?
Man, you know, it's we are working on a new website. Part of the new website is doing video testimonies for clients. And we've never done it before. We've done testimonies for the website and different things, but never professionally done video ones. And it's actually been really incredible to hear our clients just tell how amazing we are. I don't know if anyone else has ever done those, but it's kind of giving me some good feelings as I sit down and listen to all these people talk about us.
Well, I've seen those before, and they're usually, you know, pretty scripted where, you know, the MSP or IT provider is telling the customers what to say. So the first question I have for you is, did you do that, or are you just letting them talk and say what they want?
Yeah, so that was a big question, and a lot of it has to do with who your clients are and how comfortable they are talking. So, you know, we're really fortunate that we've got some fantastic clients who are regularly in front of camera, whether it's for things like this or whatever. And so instead of trying to craft a full testimony for them to just recite, we put together, I don't know, 8 questions and sent those in advance so they would review those. And so we've been just asking those questions on camera and letting them give really good responses to those. So a little bit of a, you know, combination of, you know, scripting so they can prepare a little bit, but then just letting them talk.
All right. Kind of like this show, you know, here's a couple of bullet points. Do with it what you will. Now, who's doing the taping of who's doing the videotaping? Is that something you guys are doing, or did you hire a company?
Yeah, we hired. So here locally in Oklahoma, there's a company, TNS Digital Marketing, and one of their services is doing videography. So we have them and then a great videographer local here named Brent Fox, who's shooting and editing everything for us. So we thought about doing it ourselves, and, you know, it's that same thing that we hear our clients say. Well, I don't need to hire you or pay you to fix this network. I can put in a new router, you know, and it's a $50 Netgear from Best Buy. And I thought, I want to make sure this is done correctly. So I'm going to have a professional come in with their actual cameras and their gear instead of me saying, sure, I've got an iPhone. I can do a video just fine sitting at your dirty desk.
Nice. Very nice. Well, that sounds like a very good decision. And I have seen, you know, other sites with that. So I think that it is very engaging that when people come to your site, they're going to see. Now, here was the other question I meant to ask. Are you doing it at a studio, or are they going to the customer's office to do it?
Both. So we're going to some of our clients' offices, and those clients who are not comfortable because of COVID for us coming to their office, they're coming to our facilities, and we're setting up in conference rooms and using those to make sure to. And the videographer has, you know, professional lighting, and it's great. So, and I agree. When we looked at this and thought of it on the new website, looking at our competitors, I didn't see anyone else's site that has that. And that being, you know, the first thing that hit that site, that's the first thing they see is their peers praising you. You can't go wrong with that. Right. So,
okay. All right. So let's go ahead and start moving on. But before we do, I want to take a quick moment to let people know that as Chris and I are talking here, we are streaming live to both YouTube and the Facebook. So we do have people joining us live in the chat, and I actually appreciate that. And actually, one of our good friends, Matt Foreman, has actually asked a question in the chat, so I'm going to go back to that. And talking about your customers doing these videos, did you have any clients decline to do it when asked?
One. So we made a list of 6 or 7 that we really wanted that we thought would be fantastic. And, you know, part of our process and a lot of what we do is up front, we say, hey, it's, you know, it's perfectly okay if you want to say no to this, but would you do X, Y, and Z? And he just said, no. It wasn't, oh, you know, that's so nice. He just, no. So, all right. Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
That'd probably be me. I'd be like, no, don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. But everyone else was, you know, yeah, I'd love to do it. And dove right in. So if that's something you want to do, kind of think through who do you already have testimonies from? Who do you talk to that you have a good conversation with? And who do you know, is happy with your services? And the majority of the time, they'll say yes.
All right, good. All right, so folks, those of you that pop in and watch, you can also make comments or ask questions in the chat. Remember, we're both on YouTube and the Facebook, and we get both of them in the chat. If you want to be a part of the discussion, you can let us know. Go to podnutspro.com and send me a message there. You can send an email. I have put together a list of people that I will periodically email. It's not spam. I'm not trying to sell you anything. But anytime that I know ahead of time when I have a topic, I will send out a email and letting people know. And maybe there are some questions that I can get, maybe some things that you want me to ask of a particular guest. Or if you have certain things that you might want me to have as topics, those are things that my peanuts gallery, I call them, the pod nuts peanuts are people that help me kind of, you know, make this show better. And this show is really for all of you out there that are trying to run your business and grow your business. And help me out. Go to the website, send me a message. There's even a little microphone that if you don't want to type it out, you can click on the microphone and leave me a voice message and I'll get it. One of the things that I do want to ask is the month of March has been named No Marketing Marv Month. As many of you know who have been longtime listeners, that I don't market. I don't do the things that Chris does with putting together customer testimonials and, you know, branding. I don't do Google AdWords or have a fancy website. It's functional, but I know that marketing is essential to growing the business. So I have decided to dedicate an entire month where I am going to have, I think I've got 4 of the 5 Wednesdays. I am going to have a marketing specialist that will come on the show and we'll tackle different things. So if you already want to get ahead of the game, go to the website and send me a message and let me know what types of things I need to ask these marketing specialists. And these are going to be specific to our industry. Now, I also need to put a little caveat in there. I know we've had a little run-in with some marketing people in the past. We had one that we had to basically call out as a fraud. And then I had one on recently that people responded by saying that he was a snake oil salesman. That may or may not be true, but these marketing people that I will have on in March, I will announce them ahead of time before they come on, but they are all people that you know that have been in the industry and have proven results over the years. So no flim-flam artists, no fake news type of marketing people or anything like that. So beautiful. So let's see. I love
it. Yeah. Do you have Paul Green on your list of people to reach out to for that topic?
So he was not one of the ones that I reached out to, but I do have Paul Green on another list. And so did you want me to try to get him on that fifth marketing show?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. He is fantastic. Even if you have to extend it a little bit into to April, I think that your listeners would be well served to hear from him.
All right. I will do that. See you there, folks. Yeah. I'm easy. Give me a suggestion. I'll do it. Paul Green. Okay. So before we get into the main topic, I did want to ask you about something I saw you post a while back on the Facebook.
Uh-oh.
You started to use a company that builds your computers for you. Rather than going to HP or Dell, you're using a name that we've heard before, Carbon Systems.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you about that. What made you decide to do that, and how's it been?
Yeah, so we've flip-flopped back and forth for, you know, our 12 years in business of who we use. We started off as a Dell reseller, pretty good success with Dell. You know, loved the warranty aspects. We had good pricing through them. And then we transitioned to Intel NUC so that we could control and build those ourselves. Better margins on those. We could, you know, brand the splash screens and really make it look like, you know, a custom built system from us. if anyone's ever sold quite a few of those, the failure rate on those is quite a bit higher than I expected. And Intel support is trash. In our experience, we've had to replace 5 to 10% of those.
Get out. Now, really?
Now, I don't know if that's because of the specific components that we were using or, you know, usage and how they're being used. And I wasn't really frustrated with the failure rate on those, because most of the way we deploy stuff doesn't make much of a difference. But Intel support would take 2 to 4 weeks to get a replacement unit. So we recently backed to Dell again, just because that's what we were used to. And then we heard about Carbon Systems, which is a channel-only system builder. And they do use Intel NUX, but they have standardized on their, you know, specific process. And I've talked to quite a few of their customers, and their failure rates are minuscule. And so they handle all the warranty because they're system building them. And so we said, we'll give them a try. They do next day, I think it's next day, overnight delivery, full system replacement. So it's really hard to go wrong with it, knowing the product, knowing that the customers like the size. And so we've ordered 4 desktops and one of their custom servers. And we did one of their, I think they're calling it a micro server. It's a 12-inch box. Full server with, a full RAID card. It's not just software RAID. It's incredibly fast. We were pleased. And the best part about it was this client needed SQL Server. And Carbon Systems support has been insanely amazing. They had never done SQL Server before. They got that set up so they could sell it. They had a little bit of a problem getting the licensing the preferred way. So they did it. I don't exactly know what they did, but they got it for me a different method and overnighted the licensing to me so we didn't miss our deadline. And I just can't say enough about how incredible the guys and support over there are. And the systems, they're you know, Intel NUX, but they will customize them to an insane degree. They'll install your RMM for you. They can do autopilot if you're in the Microsoft ecosystem with Intune. They can do autopilot for you. It's pretty amazing how you can have this system customized out of the box from the factory with them.
Okay. So let's take just a quick step back. What was failing the most for you with the Intel NUX?
Even after sending them in, we didn't get much. They would just replace them. So we don't know if it was power supply or the motherboard, but we could swap out SSDs and memory into new systems, and they worked fine. So it really just seemed like the entire unit was just dying on us.
Wow.
You know, they never got back to us and said, oh, yeah, we diagnosed it, and it was X, Y, and Z. They just said, oh, we got a new one coming out to you.
Okay. So Carbon Systems. Now, one of the things I heard about them is that they're a little high, but hearing the fact that they are custom building it for you, that seems to be expected.
You know, I having built them for 4 years, I don't think their pricing is high.
Really?
When you consider it's a 3-year next day warranty, you know, you can even extend that to 5-year warranty with them. And with the customization and support and their shipping, I think it's typically 2-day shipping. I would move back that up, 2-day delivery. You know, so, you know, I can order one, you know, today and have it on Friday. Today being Wednesday for those listening, not on a Wednesday. So it's, I don't think their pricing is okay. Off the mark whatsoever.
Well, whoever heard that from lied to me, so I'm gonna have to go back and find out who that was.
Yeah, but let's be honest though, price is completely subjective. So,
well, it's obviously subjective now because things are higher in the midst of and post COVID. So,
is it more expensive than what you can build a NUC for yourself? Yeah, it is, but you know, that's the labor and the money, you can't compare. So I'd be curious to see who that was and what they thought the prices were high on.
Well, I'll see if I can find out who it was and rat them out later.
Let's do it.
Do that. All right. So that is interesting because I am still an HP guy.
Yeah.
I was signed up as a Dell. Well, let me rephrase that. I am a Dell Solutions provider, but I haven't purchased from them in about 15 years. I don't know why they don't drop me. I mean, they keep sending me stuff, but I'm never going to. And I really never had a problem with them except for the sales cycle was just way too long. Mm-hmm. I mean, from the time, you know, I had to build the system myself, then send it in, then get the price, go to the customer, and then send it back. And it was like, you know what? I just need to go to a site, see what's in stock, what matches my specs, boom. And I've had... No. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to say, that was really the nail in the coffin for us with Dell is we, you know, we would place an order. We had two orders that we placed that were delayed for 6 weeks and then canceled. And, you know, that's not a way that we can operate. So.
Yeah, it was frustrating. So I like HP. I do HP servers. And to be honest, I've only had one machine fail that I can remember. And that was just recent. And I was kind of flabbergasted. I'm like, oh, I have a machine that doesn't work. And all right. So I just thought I'd ask about that. Carbon Systems. I will have the link to their website in the show notes, folks. So let me ask this. Did you have to do a special sign up for them since they are MSP channel only? How did that go?
That's a great question. I don't recall what information I had to provide to sign up, aside from just standard name, maybe website for them to verify. But, you know, if that's another great thing about them is they can't price shop. There's no pricing on their website that customers can see. So until you're signed up with them as the MSP, obviously you see pricing and order details there. But, you know, if you tell a customer, oh, yeah, we're a Carbon Systems partner, they can check it out. They can, you know, see the information and see the computers, but, you know, no pricing or anything. But I don't know exactly what sort of verification I had to provide.
All right. And you said mostly the Intel Nook line?
Yeah, they have quite a bit, but they do. So their desktops are Nooks. They custom build servers, and they even have a laptop, which I'm not sure how they do a white label laptop. I've not seen it yet, but I've heard great things about it. It's a sleek looking machine.
All right.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. So we'll start looking into that, folks. All right. So let's now shift to the title that I put on here. And let me first describe how I got to that title, because when I told Chris earlier, he was like, what? So I was sitting at home the other night, and when I get home from work, I usually have a little bit of time where I watch goofy, senseless, mindless TV. So if I'm able to get home at the regular time of 6 o'clock, we have Family Feud on. And so I'll watch maybe one or two Family Feud episodes because it's hilarious and I get a laugh. But I can have a little bit of mind engagement by answering, you know, stupid questions. And then as the wife prepares dinner, we'll sit down and then we have one show that we designate to watch from the DVR. And we've got probably 5 or 6 shows that we're taping on a regular basis. So I let her pick the show and we watch. It's usually a 1 hour show. And then I have to go back to work and do something. And she goes to bed and then whatever. But on the other night, I got home late. So we didn't have the regular stuff. So I got to watch the first episode of Clarice. And for those of you that don't know the name Clarice, then you did not watch Silence of the Lambs back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so they put out, and I don't know how well it's going to do. The first episode was intriguing. It wasn't a gotcha. But of course, they reviewed all of the stuff that Clarice Starling went through with Hannibal Lecter. And this series starts with her basically a year after the Silence of the Lambs. So we'll see how that goes. So I was kind of like, eh. So I'm flipping through the channels. It's probably 11 o'clock and I get to QVC. And the title of their segment was Essential Home Tech. And I'm like, oh, because I'm thinking maybe they'll have a laptop, maybe they'll have some new tech gadget on there. No. They had printer, they had shredder, and they had some one of those late night, you know, super scanner, you know, this thumb drive will protect your computers for 10 years. I was like, that ain't essential tech, that piece of crap. So I started thinking, we have been working from home for a year now. And I thought, let me start asking people, what are some of the things that have truly become essential tech items or toys that you have, you know, kind of started working with over the last year, whether you found out that it was essential, maybe it was something you had that you didn't think was essential, or maybe it was something that if you started working from home, oh, I gotta have this. So Chris, let me ask, any of those things pop into your head that are essential now?
The magic jack.
The magic jack.
I actually had a home-based business customer one time that had a magic jack for their office phone. I think the biggest thing is quality headset. So for me, I do the in-ear buds. The quality is just so different from, you know, those first 3 months when we were trying to rush around and get whatever webcam we could and people were just throwing up there and they were adequate. But so for me, I would say that's one of the biggest essentials, closely followed or maybe even a tie with the dual monitor.
Okay.
So, those are the first ones that jumped out to me.
You said headset, I'll hold up mine here. Yeah. And so this is a Plantronics. It's like a M700 Voyager or whatever that model is, 745. And I actually went out and purchased this. And it was $300. Ooh. And it is fantastic. And the reason I got this one was because not only does it work with the phones, it also will work with the computer. So that if I have a quick Zoom meeting or something, I don't have to pull out all my microphone and my gear. I just stick this on and I can use it as part of the web camera stuff. So I bought it. And then about 2 months later, I had a customer that did a network refresh and I got 5 of them for free.
And those are all on eBay, I'm assuming.
So actually I sold 2 to a medical office at $100 each. And I've got the rest in a box that I don't know if I'm going to do eBay or not.
Nice. You know, what I think is interesting, you know, is when you were kind of telling me that essential tech was something we're talking about, I thought, you know, it really varies based on the role of the person. You know, I know early on when we were helping people transition work from home, it was, you know, what's the bare minimum for my employees to function? Whereas the VP or the president or the owner wanted to recreate his office at home. Right. And we saw, you know, higher end cameras and lighting set up for, you know, these people that were spending half their day on calls, on video calls, versus, you know, what's the cheapest laptop we can find for, you know, the other workers. So I think it's interesting looking at what's essential, you know, based on that job title, that role as well.
You're right, because, you know, the big gold rush in the beginning was laptops, webcams, which sold out immediately. I mean, if we had thought about, you know, stock in toilet paper, we should have thought about stock in Logitech, because it was 6 months before you could find a Logitech webcam. And I happened to have 3, and stupid me sold it to another MSP as opposed to waiting to sell it to my customers, because I didn't have the forethought of thinking, oh, everybody's going to work from home and they're all going to need cameras. I missed it.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah. I was a bit concerned about some of the no-name cameras with all the concerns around spying and hacking. I wasn't comfortable putting a lot of those out there just for me, but no, we thankfully had quite a few loaners that we could give out to clients. And, you know, most of our clients had laptops they were using that had them built in, but yeah, that was pretty crazy. I think we tried to order some from, I think CDW was one that we placed orders on like half a dozen sites, just trying to get some. And right. After 6 months, CDW canceled our order.
Wow. I got B&H Photo was where I ended up getting some. And which is really funny. You know, you hear B&H Photo, you think it's just cameras and stuff like that. So B&H Photo is now, I think, my number four vendor. You know, behind Tech Data, D&H, Amazon, and B&H Photo.
Interesting.
It is weird.
Yeah, I don't know that I've checked them out.
Something to look at. They, for some reason, seem to have a lot of tech stuff.
I like it. So what's your essentials if you're talking to either the early on trying to transition people or looking at it now, what people need if they're staying home?
So here's the sad part. So I haven't worked at home since we got the new office space. So this is going on year four. And because it's just the wife and I full time, we didn't change our routine. So I still come into the office just like I did. It's 1,000 feet away. So literally it's up a block and a half. So even if we had to quarantine, it'd be really no big deal. So nothing changed except that I had to accommodate my clients more from working, you know, from home. What's interesting, so in the last month, we have added a much more secure remote access. So I've started rolling out TrueGrid, and that has been fantastic as opposed to just doing my SonicWall VPN. And I've done it both ways, the SSL VPN and the global VPN client, where you have to install the software on the client's desktop, which that gets frustrating because apparently there's a Windows update that every now and then will blow out the secret passphrase key. And so the customer's got to call, I need the key again. So we don't give it to them. So we have to schedule a time, remote in, give it to them. But with TrueGrid, it's on them. So I was trying to look back through my orders to see what the essential tech that I've gotten. And there hasn't been much because, like I said, nothing really changed for me. Now, I did talk a couple of weeks ago about the stuff that I have been getting in the business, which was the M2 duplicator. I don't know if you saw that show, but, you know, a lot of the systems that I got back in December had M2 drives in them. And usually what I do is I get computers with the SATA drives. I pull the SATA drives, throw in a 2.5, you know, solid state drive. Well, I pulled out a ton of 256 gig sticks to throw in a 512 gig drive. So now I've got all these 256, you know, M2 drives. And I'm thinking, okay, I need to start using these. So all my customers that have branch offices where they just remote in and they don't need the space on the hard drive, so I'm going to do a bunch of those. But duplicating those M2 sticks took forever. So I went and got the duplicator. And you sound like you haven't listened to the show, so let me...
I didn't see that show, no, but I actually just bought one myself. I had a clone in M2, and so I actually just bought one recently as well. Was fascinated how fast that thing was.
Yep, let me...
Yep.
So I'm going to share this screen here. So this is the one I got. So it's a 1-to-7 duplicator. So I can duplicate 7 at one time. And I had purchased, like, the sideways toaster for the M2 duplicator. So it's 1-to-1. Is that what you got?
Yeah, I just got that.
Okay. How long did it take to copy?
25 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, I was impressed with that.
Okay. I'll have to see which one you got. Cause the one that I got before took 2.5 hours. Now, of course it was a 512. It was a 500 gig and it was mostly full. So I think a lot of it has to do with how much data is on there.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did this last copy, I did it 256. It was about half full, and it took about 45 minutes to copy to 7. So that's the one I got. It's a little pricey, $1,500 bucks. But
yeah, I can't think of a scenario that I would need to copy 1 to 7, but it's good to know it exists.
Yeah. Well, I've got 8 machines I'm taking to Tampa in 2 weeks. So that's, do it there.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah.
All right. Anything else you thought of?
You know, on the essential stuff, what was interesting was what was hard to find. We joked about printers with QVC early on, but we were having a hard time finding printers occasionally. But toner for, Xerox resale. Yeah, we were having a tough time finding any kind of toner for the machine. So, which again, it's not surprising if you've got all these people suddenly back home and we're setting the full thing. Of course, you know, toner is now 5 times as in demand. But no, it's nothing unusual that shocked me about work from home that turned out to be essential. You know, if you have kids, then noise canceling earphones may have been more essential than others. Right. But nothing that kind of was weird to me. Did you come across anything that you thought was strange?
Well, not that I thought was strange, but I'm scrolling through here. So the one thing I did see that I had actually been looking at, because, you know, being here in Florida, you know, we've got a plan for no power, hurricanes, and all that sort of stuff. So one of the things that they did have on the show that I thought that might be interesting was this Halo portable backup power station. So I'm going to share this tab out so that you can see it. It piqued my interest. Chrome tab, Halo, there we go. So they've got the video on it going, but so this device is like a portable power station. Now I got the little Halos. Let me rephrase that. Not the little ones, because the little ones are like the lipstick USB chargers, but Halo also makes a car charger so that if you're, you know, stuck out in the middle of, you know, Interstate 95 or whatever, and your battery dies or whatever, you can start your battery. They made it to where not only can you do that, but it's got USB ports. You can power up 2 USB devices. It's got a flashlight, and it's got an AC plug. So I actually carry that in my go bag with my laptop so that if I need to, you know, power up my laptop or anything like that, I can do it. This here powers up like small appliances. You know, like
I've not heard of that company. I'm not sure at 1.6 ratings. That's the one But there's another company that makes a product called Sherpa or something.
And, yeah, Sherpa.
Yeah, I've seen something similar. And I would love to test one of those out. You should see if you can get them on the show to do a test of it.
Well, let me first go and see if I can find the Halo that I'm talking about that I did get. So that intrigued me, but I saw the reviews and I'm like, no. So I started.
If it's a 1.6 review on QVC,
yeah,
I'll probably get a pass.
Yeah. But the battery charger, it's not even a battery charger. God, I got to find it. It's the Halo Bolt. Okay, here's one. So let me get this up because this is awesome. I mean, I love this. It's probably not something that everybody would get, but let me grab this. And this is great for audio. So people that are listening later, you'll want to go to the video so you can see this. Let's see. Add to stream. So this is it. So it is the Halo Bolt. Let me make this a little bigger here. So let me open the picture. So it's not very big. I mean, it's about the size of a tablet and of course thicker than a tablet. But here you can see the two USB ports. Here is where if you're stuck on the side of the road and have no battery, you stick in these prongs and it'll start up your car. And I've got an SUV, so I've actually used it to start up my SUV. And so that's how it looks there. And then you can power devices on it. And this is what I talked about. It's got the AC outlet that you can plug in your laptop or any other device. And then you can also power up your mobile devices. And it gives a lot of time. So I've never had to use 11 hours for the laptop. But, you know, being able to charge up my tablet and phone came in really handy.
Nice.
So so we have a ton of them now. We have one for each car. So for mine and the wife's. And then I have one that I have in my go bag for IT. So I take it when I need it on the road.
Nice. I'm glad to know that you've tested in that I can actually start a car. That's impressive.
Well, especially an SUV, because that's always the thing is they put these things on and it'll start a small car, but not an SUV. So that has started my Jeep. Stupid thing. My little button thing, you know how some cars have the push button?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't start. It wouldn't go. And I thought, well, it must be the button. So you can pop the button out, put the key in, and use the key. That's when I'm like, oh, dead battery. So I happen to have it because we were going to put it in our hurricane box.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of those folks, a hurricane box. And I said, well, time to check it out. So I put it out, hooked it up. Literally 15 seconds, green light came on, went back in the car, started it up, boom. Drove right to the auto mechanic shop and they set me up good.
Very nice.
So that is a great double device to use for your car battery and for spare power. And the good thing about that, too, is that it will hold its charge for up to a year. So if you don't use it for a year, you're still good.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So the Halo Bolt portable. It's funny. They changed the name. It used to be just the car charger, but now it's the Halo Bolt portable phone, laptop, car jump starter with AC outlet. That is my essential tech. So
nice.
Interesting. All right. Anything else, my friend?
For essential tech? No, I think, you know, it's funny. I mean, for us to talk about essential tech is so drastically different than if we were trying to explain to a client, but no, I can't think of anything else. We know what it is.
All right. Well, here's what I do want to do. I want to put this out to my listeners, Podnuts Nation, Peanuts Gallery. If you have something that you would say has become an essential tech item for you, and it can be a tech item for the business, it could be a tech toy for the home, please send me that. I think I want to compile a list and we can kind of, you know, formulate a little pyramid of essential tech stuff. So send that in. You can, again, go to the website, podnutspro.com, and enter it there. You can send me an email, marvin@podnuts.com, and I will start compiling that list. And I will just basically ask for this. I know that people listen to the show a little bit behind sometimes, so you might be listening to this 2 weeks from the time that we publish the show. So hopefully I'll have a list in sometime in April. We'll do a follow-up to this. So if you have an item that you think is an essential tech item that should be on it on every tech list, must-have list, send it in to me and obviously send me a link to some page that shows me what it is and describes it. And so we know exactly what it is. And, you know, if you're going to send me a link to a $600 chair, please explain why. I know that that was the big rage all of a sudden for part of last year, is everybody had to have these chairs with lumbar support.
I should have. I'm sitting on one of those balls from a standing desk. And
really?
You said that my back's killing me now. Now I want to go find one of those $600
chairs. Is it the bouncy ball or the roly ball? There's two different ones, right? It's the bouncy one. Oh my. Okay. All right, so we've come to the point in the show where I'm going to give you a choice.
Oh.
Normally we do Florida Man versus the World, but I've started to add this little section of random question. So okay. I'm going to let you pick. And would you rather do a Florida Man versus the World, or would you rather do a random question?
Let's do a random question.
Random question. Okay. So let me run over to my random question generator.
My random question happens to be about Florida Man.
Yeah. Let me rope you in. Okay. Here we go. And let's do food for thought as the category. And, well, let me get over here. Random category. No, we'll do this. We'll do creative refresh. Here you go. What school activities do you or did you participate in?
Drama and show choir.
Really?
Yeah. Why is that funny to you?
Okay. Because first of all, did you grow up in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Okay, so my first thought would have been sports of some kind. Doesn't every kid in Oklahoma play football?
I wasn't good enough to play for the school. So I played basketball with friends in church leagues, but I wasn't good enough to play for school.
Okay. Well, yeah. Basketball was going to be my second question because you've got a little bit of height on me, and you have that basketball build, so.
Yeah, I love it. I was never really great at it, but I absolutely loved it. I tore my calf and had to stop playing, unfortunately, but you know, I love playing basketball. As far as school activities, though, yeah, drama and show choir.
Okay. So it always intrigues me, because I did a little drama.
Yeah?
I was in two community plays. Mm-hmm. And I sang in a group called the Ten Tones in high school. And we were a specialty group. And there was 10 of us, 5 guys, 5 girls. And we would go around the community and we would have to dress in tuxedos and cummerbunds and sing.
Sure. Yeah. Was it a cappella?
So we did some a cappella and some to music.
Yeah. Ten Tones is like, that's like the perfect a cappella.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Name. Madrigals, all that stuff.
Yeah, I never did any of the small ensembles or anything. It was just, you know, the full group stuff. But I loved that. I loved singing and performing and acting. And, you know, we did one of the drama clubs I was a part of. We did Starlight Express, which was, you know, it's a musical about trains, and you do the whole thing on roller skates. It was fantastic.
It was about trains, but since you couldn't have a train, you did it on roller skates.
Yeah, we were the train. So you're on roller skates the whole time.
Okay. And what was your part in that? Were you just one of the travelers or were you conductor?
No. We were the train, Martin.
Oh.
We weren't passengers.
Okay.
We were the train cars.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. It's a niche performance, what can I say?
Any pictures or recordings of that?
Oh, God, I hope not.
I have to call your mother.
Oh, you're gonna delete this portion, right?
No, but we are going to ask about it more in the post show. So for those of you that are still with us here, we're going to be ending up here in just a minute, but we will stay through the outro and get more into drama and show choir. Interesting. All right.
I should choose Florida Man.
And that part won't be in the podcast, so that'll save you a little bit.
Thanks.
All right. Well, folks, there you have it. Chris Meraz, Your IT, based out of Oklahoma. And Chris, what is the website address of your brand spanking news site with the video testimonies?
It's not launched yet, but it's at yourit.com.
Okay. So if they go there now, they'll see the old one.
Correct.
Which still looks nice.
Well, you're kind.
Yeah. I mean, it's got a nice little picture of you.
Oh, man.
And your typical MSP listing stuff, so.
Yes.
All right. Chris Meraz, Your IT, folks, thank you very much for watching and listening and subscribing to the show. If you want to go back, if you're listening to this in the audio version and you want to go back and see the video, head over to podnutspro.com. You can scroll through the episode list, find it. It'll have a link to the YouTube video that we have. You can also go back and view the past catalog of other shows that we've had on, including the one we talked about, My Favorite Tech Tools, back at the beginning of February. So, Chris, thank you very much. And hang on through us as we exit out of the show there. Thank you all for tuning in, those that watch live. And that's going to do it for this episode. We'll be back next Wednesday, as we are every Wednesday at 8 p.m. And until next time, holla.